It's click. There it is.
The following podcast may be explicit. One Joe Young presents Adventures from the Shed, a tabletop RPG podcast. You can find us online at adventuresfromtheshed.com.
And here we are, Adventures from the Shed online. We're coming at you with another episode of Eli bringing us through his one-shot dungeon. I do want to take a minute just to point out that this is actually, to the day, the 7th anniversary for Adventures from the Shed. Our very first episode was released September 9th, 2014. So we've been around for a little while. Got well over, I think, 300 episodes out there right now that you can go find on adventuresfromtheshed.com. We have a lot of stuff going on with the audio stuff, doing the streaming video over, I think, about a year now or so. We've got a bunch of that out there for you to consume. But I'm going to kick it over to the DM of the evening, Eli. Get us going.
Hi, my name is Eli. I am the Dungeon Master for tonight's episode. Any weird noise you just heard was probably the cat just being a little baby. Anyways, I will be running us through the rest of the ruined Church of St. Alba. In our last episode, we finally got into the cathedral, the start of the dungeon, and we're going to see if the party can get into the dungeon and hopefully the end. Now we will go through our character introductions. First would be Jason.
Yes, that is me. I am playing Talon, the not-so-amazing monk.
This is Joe. I'm playing the half-elf fighter Murdoch, who has been, I'd say, three-quarters amazing.
And I'm, it's not a Tuma, Randy, and I play the mountain, what am I at? Not a troll. What am I? A dwarf. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm drunk, people. Anyway, cleric who doesn't really know what's going on, but he's going to do the best he can until he dies.
That's all we kill them birds. Please don't kill the birds.
Yes, we're going the bird murder route.
Mm-hmm. No.
My head kept going mountain knoll. I'm like, I'm not a knoll.
You're a troll.
Yeah. All right. So
Randy's trolling the podcast.
Where we left off on our last episode was Scurry failing to shoot at some birds sitting in a nest, the bolt ricocheting off and hitting a podium, revealing that inside there was Murdoch. As you tear open the rest of the podium, inside you see that there is what looks to be a a silver oversized candle snuffer.
Eli, I believe you are referring to the secret dragons that were up there.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
Not birds, secret dragons.
Who are you talking to? I don't exist in this reality. Anyways, so yes, inside the podium there is a oversized silver candle snuff.
Well, perhaps you could hit the bird with this, Scurry.
Ah!
Oh, yes. I had it here.
Give me that, sir. I think that'll fit inside of his crossbow.
Okay. Let me give it a shot. All right. There's one more bird left because only one flew away. Here we go.
Are you trying to shoot the bird?
With the snuffer.
I would not really hand it to him. So it was mainly a joke, and I would waggle it in his general direction.
But if I get a one, then it could bounce off the wall and land where it needs to land magically.
That's a good point.
I mean, that is true.
Yeah.
Equal chance on a one or a 20.
Lord knows these aren't less rolls that I'm going right now.
So
I'm going to do it just for fun, even though it's not real.
He can try to shoot it.
See, it's all six.
So I'm going to Murdoch's going to take his time and then try to carefully snuff out these torches that are still lit.
Okay. You carefully walk through the mold and you realize that you can take a section of the podium and kind of scrape the mold off of the ground and almost like a snow shovel and just kind of flip it somewhere else. And you create a clear path to each of the torches and snuff each one out. As each flame gets snuffed out, the what was the oil and rag quickly disintegrates, turns to dust, and flies away.
So since I see him scrape it up, kind of drag, you know, so to speak, I'm just going to be like, yeah, snuff the magic, you drag man.
And with that, we all just turn and we continue to do what we were doing.
Everybody looks at Scurry. Yeah. The bird judges him again and flies off.
Oh, so, man, now they're all gone. Now we can't put them out.
I take the snuffer and repeatedly bang it against Scurry's skull.
you give Scurry a light tap on the head.
Side note, you guys don't know what Puff the Magic Dragon is?
It's not that we don't know.
It's not that we don't know.
It was just that bad. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right, moving on.
I've never had it foist upon me in such a way.
Once all the torches are put out.
I promise I'll be funnier. Someday.
That's an episode Someday. Title. Go ahead.
Once all the torches are put out, there is a stillness in the air. You no longer hear the sound of the breeze or the birds outside. And just as soon as the silence set in, it is broken by the sound of stone scraping against stone as the visage of this sun deity starts to sink lower into the ground slowly. It does not look like it is revealing anything. This is probably an elevator platform itself.
Perhaps we should ride this thing. Hey?
I agree with you on that one here. Can we jump on?
Yeah, let's get on this thing. We gotta show moving.
You all quickly jump onto the elevator platform and it descends roughly 100 feet.
Is there any music playing in the elevator?
Slowly, right? It just drop, right?
Yes, slowly.
It's playing the classic elevator music.
Death saving throws for 13 floors.
All right, so the elevator to the first level of the crypt lowers 100 feet and opens up into an 80-foot-wide circular room. The light from the cathedral barely illuminates the elevator around you. Darkness surrounds the rest of the room. Do any of you have dark vision?
Yes.
I don't believe I do, actually.
All right. Your beast eyes don't see in the dark?
No, I'm not in beast form. I haven't shifted yet, so I'm just in my normal, regular form. So I don't have it yet.
I mean, I'm a dwarf. I probably do, but I'm not sure.
Oh, never mind. Yeah,
I have dark vision, yep.
I do have dark vision. I apologize. Yes, I do.
All right. So beyond the light illuminating the elevator, you do notice that the light perfectly lights up only the elevator, only this visage of the sun. The darkness beyond that does reveal the shape of alcoves lining almost the entirety of the wall, save for a 10-foot hallway. Most of the lower alcoves are either empty or have broken coffins. The rest are completely filled. You do also notice some more writing in Giant. Nice. The words that these script make up are just family names that used to be common. It looks like the people who lived in that hamlet south of the cathedral had their dead entombed here.
Okay. Hmm. Anything of note on those that writing?
Well, if you look at this row up here where it's lots of people up here and the beginning of it, that first word is the Joneses. So it seems like everyone was trying to keep up with them.
Ah. Do you think they're behind this whole nasty plot? Are the Joneses the one in charge of this cult?
I don't think they had anything to do with this. They seem to have been dead for quite some time. Everything in here is like a long time ago dead?
Yeah, at least a century old.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, everything here is far, far past. I don't think I would expect to see any of these people up and about anytime soon, save the undead.
All right, well, shall we head inside further and see if we can find this young lady that we're after?
Definitely. Are there any traces on the floor that we can see?
Any what?
traces on the floor that we can see from anybody else who may have passed this way.
Yes, actually. Now that you're down here, you do see footprints in the dust, and there are a lot of them around the alcoves. It looks like whoever was here spent a lot of time, very clearly, breaking into the coffins that contain the remains of these old town folk. There are also a lot of drag marks going down the hallway, but that's really all you see.
I think someone was looking for something.
All right, well, it seems like they're probably here still, so maybe we should try to, you know, make our way to where they're going, but use caution, I would say, yes?
What's the mold situation like?
There is no mold down here.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't even smell like the mold upstairs. It's, while stale, surprisingly clean.
Yes, let's make our way. What exits are there?
I'll cast Pass Without a Trace on us here.
That's cool.
If we are trying to be stealthy, we have a plus 10 bonus to stealth checks.
Nice. All right. So then, making the way down the hall, which also goes south, the hallway goes down roughly 30, 40 feet and then opens up into another cairn, I think is the right word, tomb. This is another large rectangular room, roughly 80 by 40 feet. The walls are lined with the same coffins and alcoves, the lower sections of which have clearly been looted for something. All throughout the room, you do manage to make out the shape of skeletons just kind of meandering. One even gets within 30 feet of y'all and just kind of walks on. In the corners of the room, you notice statues of angels. Their wings are unfurled, they carry a shield and a mace, but each of them has been damaged in some way. One is missing its head, another is missing its mace arm, one has had both legs removed from under it, so it just lies on the ground. In the center of the room, you see a large magic circle with runes floating about it in this deep purple-colored light. It sheds low light about 5 feet from the edge of the circle.
So, why are the angel statues damaged in different ways?
Not sure. That is a good question here. Does it seem like maybe there's a pattern to it, or I'm not sure. I mean, Scurry, you're a religious person here. Does this make any sense to you?
I like the idea of you saying the pattern and everything. Maybe there's another little trick here. We need to maybe combine them, maybe in that runic area or something. Other than that, I see no rhyme or reason to damage these individually like this. So,
Scurry, give me a religion check.
Well, it's a good thing I am plus 4 in that.
It's a good thing.
17.
At least a 5.
Yeah. Yay.
17. You say this to your allies as you're walking around and examining the angel statues. And while there are undead roaming around, you don't feel threatened by them. They don't feel like restless spirits. They feel more like pedestrians.
They're loitering.
Yeah, the skeletons just seem like people who are a little lost. You don't get any hostile intent from them, but you also go to investigate these angel statues, and you notice that each of them has been maimed. The one missing its head clearly can't see anymore. The one without the mace would be unable to attack, without legs, unable to move. It seems as though somebody has intentionally tried to impede these angels. You do notice one in the far corner that is untouched. And instinctively, with your dwarven heritage, you move your hand along the stonework. It has very clearly been carved with reverence and care. And as you touch this statue, you hear the grinding of stone. It looks down at you. And you said you were a lawful, neutral life domain cleric?
Yes.
And it kneels before you. It seems to recognize your connection with a higher power.
I was not sent to expecting this. Can you speak to me, Angel?
It speaks in a language you do not recognize.
Do you speak Delkir or Dorish?
runic sigil appears in front of its mouth, fades into its face, and you can still see the rune etched onto the stonework, and it is now speaking to you in Dwarven.
Oh. Interesting.
I speak as you wish.
Do you know what happened to your friends over here?
The other guardians have been maimed. They cannot fulfill their purpose.
Do you know how to fix them? Maybe save them in some way?
They are gone.
That's unfortunate. What about these skeletons walking around? They don't seem hostile. They seem like just people.
They are at peace. They are where they belong.
Have you been watching this whole entire time?
Yes.
Okay, so I only wrote down for a joke for him to only know Turkish reindeer as her name. I'm going to ask if he really knows what happened to what's her face.
The daughter of the Hamburglar.
Yes.
The girl and many others were taken down below, beyond the crypt of the great saint.
What does this runic spot right here, the circular area, do with all the runes on it?
Heresy. It must be removed.
Do you know if we can just scratch it away, if we need to cast a spell on it, or what we need to do to get rid of it?
I do not know.
I'll relay all the information that I've found out so far to Murdoch and Talon. You guys have any questions for this angel friend of ours?
Well, I think maybe if the other statues are broken beyond repair, and they were good things, maybe we put some of those pieces in the circle that's a bad thing, and they kind of cancel each other out.
I think that sounds like a fine idea.
I'll ask if it thinks that might help. Excuse me, Angel, and then I'll repeat that to him. Or her, or it. I'm not really sure.
The rune dims for a moment before it lights back up. Holy light may lead these heretics back to the true path.
All right, so I'm going to drag the legless one over to the circle.
Okay, with great effort,
you
drag the angel statue over to the runic circle. And once it reaches the edge of it, like the wingtip kind of gets to the edge of this circle, and it seems to offer significant resistance. But you yourself are able to step into it just fine.
You need any help over there, Murdoch? You seem like you're struggling.
Just a bit. Maybe a little more heave and less hoe.
No, all right. I'll head over there and I'll try to help.
All right. Either of you may give me a strength athletics check, and you may use the help action if you'd like.
Yeah, but go ahead, Joe, if you want to do it with advantage, you can.
I'm all about that, because I'm going to ignore that first one, which was a one, and roll it. Oh, my God, I rolled a one twice. Now, I do have a plus seven, so I got an eight But it was a one. I rolled it twice.
Now, I personally like running with critical success and critical failure in all things D20 related.
That's the way I feel, too. A one is always a miss. A 20 is always a hit, whatever it is.
Yeah. So the So the legless statue, both of you are kind of like carrying it or trying to push it instead of pull it, as if you feel you can get a bit more force that way. And you're pushing by the wings. Unfortunately, the wings aren't able to withstand the stress, so they kind of break off. However, ooh, in the cavalcade of you two falling over each other with stone wings in hand, you manage to make it into the circle, and the wings darken, but the magic circle seems to fade slightly.
Well, I meant to do that. perhaps I could drag the rest of Legolas in here.
I'll give you a hand. I'm not exactly weak, so let's give her a shot. Unless there's any objections there, my angel friend.
The angel, it clearly looks over at the now even more defaced angel statue and rests for a moment, then speaks. It is their duty to guard the holy... it is their duty to guard this holy site. This is their purpose.
All right. So that wasn't a no. So we're going to go and do it.
That's right.
It's a celestial being. All celestial beings speak weird. So you try to get the rest of this statue in, and as you're grabbing onto it, the stone seems to just kind of crumble. It doesn't turn to dust, but now it's just like chunks of rock that you're pulling off of it.
Let's try pushing another one over here. Maybe
I think our work here is done for now. We've weakened the circle. I think maybe we move on. What does your stone friend say? Should we go? Should we stay?
When Murdoch speaks up, the angel does respond, this time in Elven. It says to you, "The circle has weakened. I do not know if that will be enough. Proceed at your caution."
Okay, so the statue says we're all set now. We can go. You guys ready?
Okay, if that's what the statue said, I don't speak Elvish, so let's go.
The angel points its mace towards another hallway. Following it, it leads down into a smaller circular room with the same visage of this sun deity. And on one side of the room, there is a lever in like a little recess. Pulling the lever, the elevator goes down.
Okay.
When it gets all the way down, you do see another recess with another lever, probably to make the elevator go up, and a small hallway. This one is lit. It is, there are torch sconces, but these torches are lit via magic.
More blue, or is this a different color?
More white, like a pale yellow. It leads into a rather ornate circular chamber that has a single sarcophagus in the center. There are alcoves in the walls, but these look like they used to carry treasure, relics, personal belongings of whoever has been interred here. There's a few gold coins scattered around. There is, on the other side of it, however, a hole in the wall. Someone has very clearly broken through it.
That's unnatural and not right.
It leads into a cave.
Let's go. You guys down with that?
Yeah, so let's go. I'll still have passed that a trace on us.
We passed it, Eli, with the move, but I did want to mention as we left past the angel statue, the one that was moving, I did want to kind of whisper to it, "We'll be back to take care of the circle on the way out."
It bows as a thank you and resumes its original post. Yeah. The rune on its face fades.
So I plan on doing that, but I figure it's more important to try and save someone who's alive than worry about a circle in the ground.
So you head through this cave network and you come across a three-way fork. I guess technically it's a four-way.
And, all right, we're split the party.
Off to the left, you see there is a... It is entirely dark, and you can hear echoes through it, but you all have a strong intuition that this will lead you away from where you intend. Hmm. The center fork goes down a little ways, and you see some light around a corner. And to the right, you hear very clearly a sort of rhythmic noise. It's more so that you feel it than hear it.
Sorry.
No. Maybe.
Thought it was lit.
So, center or right?
Are there drag marks leading down any of those specifically?
Both.
Like there were upstairs? No.
Well, there's light down there, but this one, I mean, everyone, you guys are feeling this right here, down the other tunnel?
Yes, the rhythmic sound. Hmm. Kind of like a dub beat.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yes, I think maybe that might be the tunnel we go down. What do you guys think?
It depends. If the sound continues, I may go mad.
No, we don't want you going mad. Maybe we go down the other tunnel then, if you're going to go mad.
Bum, 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 bum.
I don't know about going towards the light either. Yes, let's go to the right.
All right, let's go to the right. Scurry, you with us, sir?
I'm fine with going where you guys are going. So all right, let's
we'll
get
head,
going.
We'll head to the right.
Okay, so
we can scurry down that way.
Yes, you scurry down to the right-hand hallway. Thank you. I appreciate the cookies.
Cookies?
Yes, my uncle has given me a cookie.
Yay, cookie.
Good for you.
Little pumpkin sugar cookie. Anyways.
You bring enough for the rest of the class? Or
No, because this isn't a class. So, you head down the right-hand hallway. As you make your way through, you do see... signs of struggle. You see blood streaks on the ground. There is no dust in this cave. And as it winds and turns, you do see a deep purple light from around the corner. Carefully peeking around, you see the...
Can you shut them? The one thing that I'd be wondering is how fresh is the blood seem? And did the rhythmic noise get louder as we approached?
Yes, the rhythmic noise is getting louder. The blood is in varying stages of age. Some of it is fresh. A lot of it is like caked and dry. Some of it just seems like a stain on the stone.
This might be a sacrifice ceremony going on. We might want to hurry.
Right? Does it look like there's a... I mean, how fresh is this blood? Does it look super old or does it look relatively fresh?
You said it was varying in ages? It was like different blood or what?
Murdoch, your combat intuition tells you that the freshest blood here has been spilt maybe a day ago.
Oh, okay. All right, so it's that fresh then. All right.
Very fresh. You can still smell that little bit of iron in the air.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So peeking around the corner, you see what is very clearly a ritual site. There is one man at an altar, and he seems to be surrounded by this translucent barrier. Every so often, you see sections of it flicker. He doesn't seem to have noticed this. Outside of this barrier are four cultists dressed in their red and orange robes. They seem to be focused on a prayer, it sounds like. And you can hear off to the side, out of sight, gentle sobbing.
Does it sound like the sobbing of a eldest daughter that has been gone missing?
It definitely sounds like a woman sobbing, but you have no idea if it is the eldest daughter of Baron Rumdir, as you have never interacted with her before.
All right, so I think this might be the place, guys. What do you think we should do?
I think I'm ready to disrupt this ritual.
Scurry, are you ready to disrupt this as well?
Let's get this done so I can get out of here. Well, you know I hate these type places and all stuffy and whatnot. That's why I never go home.
I step around the corner with my shield ready and I raise my longsword and I say, roll for initiative!
Yeah, I was about to say, do you all want to roll initiative here? All right, so everybody give me an initiative roll.
A whopping 5.
That would be a 20 from me.
7.
Okay.
My role is supposed to tell everyone else to go first, you say.
The initiative order is Talon, cult leader, cultists, Randy, then Joe.
So, I didn't know you and I were there, Joe. What's up?
Scurry and Murdoch, sorry.
I'll also answer to Murdoch.
Oh, it's one of those games. Okay. All right.
No, I haven't felt Randy in years.
Aren't you the one that said Eli doesn't exist in this plane or whatever it was?
So, Dallin, what will you do?
Enjoy that cookie.
All right. So, seeing where there's the leader of cultists, and then there's you said there's 4 other ones around him?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to run in, break out my double-bladed scimitar, swing it around, and then swing at the cult leader.
Okay. As I said earlier, the cult leader is in some sort of barrier that is occasionally flickering, and outside of the barrier is the 4 cultists praying.
Okay, so he runs through them
and hits the barrier.
Okay, so the barrier. All right, so then, I would try to run up to the barrier and see if I can go through it.
That was a joke, Jason. You didn't have to do it.
Okay, so you, Jesus. Okay, you rush at this barrier. Mm-hmm.
They said it was flickering, so I thought maybe I could just get it.
Give me an acrobatics.
Okay.
I cast Bless on him real fast.
Oh, no, that's a 2 plus 6.
That is
I cast
enough.
30 blessed on him.
You try to rush through the barrier, and the barrier reignites just as you get to it. Boom!
Dang.
You still have your action.
I would kind of shake it off, and I'd look at the two, I'm assuming the cultists that are next to me, and I'd just break out my scimitar, and I'd swing at one of them.
Yep. All right. Sounds good.
All right. That is
give me an attack roll.
10 to hit.
Nice. A 10 to hit this caster who is wearing a robe. Unfortunately, he has a dexterity of 12.
Yep. Yeah, I'll take my second attack action then, and I'll swing again. And that is a 18.
Nice. That's a solid hit.
Yeah. All right. And that is 6 points of slashing damage.
You swing at this cultist who has kind of just now recognized that you're here. Everything kind of moved a bit too fast for him because he was busy praying. And you slash into his chest, and he's in a really overdramatic show. He's just, oh, no, oh. And now all the other cultists are alerted.
Yep. So I'll yell back, party started, boys. And then I will prepare myself for the next round.
All right. Cult leader spends his turn engaging in the ritual.
Yeah, I'll spend a key point here. Sorry, my thing is I'll spend a key point to use patient defense to prepare for the next round.
Okay. Alrighty. So, cult leader is spending his turn engaging in the ritual. The cultists around you are, what? The one that you slashed is going to try to punch you. What does... I'm guessing... A 9 doesn't hit.
A 9 will not hit the monk. No, not a chance.
Okay, just making sure. Yeah. The other cultists are going to spend two of the cultists are going to spend their action to look for the other two. Are you guys hiding?
Oh no, I called for an
initiative. Okay.
Nope, not at all.
So they look over towards the entrance. There they are! Secure the sacrifice! And the last cult member is going to try to punch Jason. No, he's going to cast Firebolt.
He's going to cast Jason. Punch.
He casts Fist.
Mage Hand.
Okay.
I think you're so surprised that they don't have a turn this round, right?
No, the one cultist alerted the others.
Aw, man.
They have also kind of been expecting somebody to come and disrupt shit, because y'all have been in on their ass for a few weeks.
Yeah, so with that, I have the dodge action, so all attacks coming towards me have disadvantage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then that did not hit. He got a 16 on the first one, and then a 12 on the second.
Yeah, that's a miss.
Okay. So after the cultists, it is Scurry. What is Scurry going to be doing?
Scurry is going to pull out his crossbow while he's still a little bit away. First, he's going to go ahead and cast Spiritual Weapon next to one of these guys.
Ooh, okay.
Where are my spells? There it is. I just click it then. I don't know why it's rolling. 17, what is that? To hit. Oh, okay. So I guess I cast it and it attacks?
The spiritual
I don't know
weapon?
How it works. Yeah.
I'm not entirely familiar with the mechanics.
Duration is 1 minute. Let's see. Casting time is one bonus action. range is 60 feet, so I can cast it near one. I'm assuming they're not more than 60 feet away.
Yep, and then it takes an attack action.
You create a floating spectral weapon within range that lasts for the duration, which is 1 minute, or until you cast the spell again. When you cast a spell, you can make a melee spell attack against a creature within 5 feet, so that would be the 17. On a hit, the target takes force damage equal to 1d8 plus your spell casting ability modifier.
All right. So what's the damage? Because 17 definitely hits.
I guess I just roll a 1d8, right?
And yes. Then, and add your spellcasting mod.
All right. Roll to everyone. All right. There's 6. And then my spellcasting mod. Where do I find that? I rarely ever play casters.
You're a cleric, so that should be wisdom.
Oh, wisdom is plus 1. So 7 okay. damage.
Nice. What's the shape of your spiritual weapon?
It's just the shape of a hammer.
Okay, just a regular old hammer.
Claw hammer.
Super Smash Brothers. Just round on both ends. Cylinder kind of thing.
Oversized sledgehammer. Got
yeah,
it.
Oversized sledgehammer.
All right. So this spectral weapon appears and bonks the living shiznit out of the cultist. Which one were you targeting, by the way?
Let's go the furthest back one on the left, if there is one.
Okay, we'll call him number 4. Number 4 gets bonked. He is not happy.
All right, the one with the more brown robes now.
Okay. I see. I get it. Yeah. All right, so that was your bonus action?
It says it's a bonus action, but Jason was saying it was an attack action, so...
Well, it's a bonus action to cast it, and then it takes an action to attack when you're doing that.
Okay.
Oh, so do I still have an attack if that was its bonus, its action to attack, or how does that work?
It sounded to me like it takes your attack action.
Oh, no, it's a bonus action. You use your bonus action to command it, and then it has its own action to attack. So it has
So then you still have your action and your movement.
Okay, I will stay within range with my crossbow and then shoot at him. Same guy.
All right, give me an attack roll.
How does a friggin' 7 sound?
Horrible.
That's not good enough. He.
Are you sure? Because you know a 10 didn't hit, so I'm sure 7 might.
he's kind of reeling from the hammer, so the crossbow bolt just misses him as he's wobbling around. Murdoch, fighter boy.
Hey, I think you just told me an advantage on that, so I'm gonna. No, just kidding.
So Murdoch's going to charge forward and position himself next to Talon. And start swinging his longsword at the one who last attacked.
Okay.
Right. The one who swung at Talon.
That was Scurry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I got you now. Roll to attack.
All right.
So what I'm seeing is Talon say on the left, Murdoch on the right, just kind of looking at the cultists on either side of them.
So I got a 20, as in a 20 plus 7, so 27.
Ouch. How do you want to do this?
A critical hit.
Critical hit!
For 13 damage by the rolls on here, unless we do the whole maximum, because it was 2d8 plus 4, so 13.
I like to just add everything and then multiply it. So, but that's definitely going to be more than enough.
We can multiply it by like 10 and be 130.
No, just
yeah. Eviscerate this guy.
So yes, that is going to be enough damage to just KO him.
So let's just multiply it by 100 and whatever.
So how do you want to do this?
So what I want to do is just get up there, take a thorough swing at this guy, straight through him, preferably, to be able to then spin around and pivot to the next guy and give him the backswing with my second attack.
Nice.
All right, yep. So you charge in, get one good upward swing so you don't hit Talon. You use that momentum to swing around and hit the next guy.
Yep, kind of spin around there. Oh, that's a 10. The second one is probably not going to hit.
It does not, unfortunately.
So I'm
this guy. This is the same guy that got hit with the spiritual weapon. So he's still like,
Would he be flanking that one specifically, or no?
No.
Okay.
The Talon and Murdoch are in the center, and the cultists are. Well, one was flanking, but now he's dead. But the cultists are on either side of that.
Okay, well, you said it was the one with the spiritual weapon, so I don't know if that counted for flanking too, or if it has to be a character.
I think we're good there. I'm just going to make sure I'm positioned there to help Talon fend off any attacks.
I'm just trying to understand all the roles. That's all. I'm trying to be sneaky. Like, I'm on his campaign. Like, so are we.
All right, it's all good, Randy. We just want to get on to the next roll so that we can keep
going. Gotcha.
That brings it over to Talon.
There he is.
That's Jason. Hey.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had one of my stores message me right now. Okay.
Put him on. We'll talk to him.
There we go. Okay. Well, I'm just going to swing again at the other cultists that are around me, or if I can.
Yes, there's still a cultist next to you.
Yep. So I'm just going to try to again swing at him, and that is that should hit. That's a 23.
Yes, oh, yeah. That will hit.
Yes, and that is 8 points of slashing damage.
Ow! He's down. He's
okay.
He's down. He's going to bleed out soon.
Okay. All right. So he's down. He's no longer a threat. I know I ran into two of them next to me here. Are they both, is there still the other person on the other side or?
No, Murdoch took that one out.
So yeah. Then on the other, cause I'm trying to figure out. So they're around like this barrier. So then where's the next closest one?
The next closest one is going to be 5 feet to your left going around the barrier.
Okay. So I would like to backflip over him and then hit him with my doubles bladed scimitar.
Okay. You can either give me an attack roll or you can give me a dexterity acrobatics as your attack roll.
Oh, we'll just do acrobatics. I'm doing a backflip. Let's just see. Oh, that's probably bad. That's a 9.
Nice. I'm going to give you advantage though, because that was stupid, but cool.
That's yeah. Badass.
Oh, it's even worse. It's slightly better. It's 11.
11. His AC is 11.
Hey, there we go.
Nice.
All right, so then that's 9 points of damage.
Nice. This one gets just slashed across his back as he doesn't realize what's just happened. He sees you, and then you just kind of flash step into the air, and he's like, what? Flah! Nothing personnel, kid.
That would be my action. Yeah, that would be my turn then.
All right. That will take it to Cult Leader. Cult Leader is engaging in the ritual. And the last cultist is...
Brown Pants?
Ooh, yeah. The last cultist is not... He's not gelling with the vibe in this room anymore, so he is going to disengage and run away.
Can I take the opportunity to shoot a bolt at him?
I...
I think disengage means he can't get attacked. Yeah. He doesn't provoke, so you don't get
attacked. Doesn't provoke.
He actually used the skill disengage. I thought he was running away. Okay, gotcha.
No, he takes the disengage action and just kind of runs away. You just hear him like screaming and cursing. This is not worth it. No, I didn't sign up for this. I'm out.
Not a very committed cultist.
Yeah, can work with us and go and take out your leader, and then we'll let you live.
Fuck you.
All right, we'll find you later and kill you.
That leaves it to Scurry now. You notice that since none of the cultists are focusing on the barrier anymore, it is flickering even more. You may get a shot through, or you can maybe try to dispel it.
Can I move my hammer to go and try to strike at it? My spiritual weapon?
Give me an arcana check.
I will do that once I find where it's... Okay, it's in alphabetical order. Good. Yeah. How about 19?
That is good enough to get through the barrier. You kind of like looking at it, like in those quick time events for video games, you're like, there, go!
Yeah.
And you kind of just push the hammer in.
You're spamming the A button right now.
It zoops in, and then it makes an attack on that guy.
At advantage because he is completely enthralled with the ritual.
And then do I just go back to my spells and click on the spiritual weapon itself? Is that how that works?
For the attack? Did it roll an attack when you clicked it last time?
Yeah.
Then do that, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so how does a 22 sound? Does that hit him?
That will hit.
Stupendous. All right. I can actually just click the 1d8 plus 1.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so 4 more damage to that guy. And since I saw that work, I'll go ahead and take my regular attack action and try to shoot with the timing if I can.
Okay. So this is going to be just a regular attack. The barrier would have been disadvantaged, but he is still technically enthralled with the ritual.
He just got hit. Would he have dropped that, or does he have to roll constitution?
No, he is not going to be dropping this ritual.
Okay. I'm just double checking since he just got hit by the spiritual weapon. All right, so you said with disadvantage, or what did you say with the attack?
Just a regular attack. You have two things that are canceling each other out.
Well, I'm going to say that's a huge miss.
What was it?
8 altogether.
You are not
good. I can't crossbow anything. I'm just going to put that away now and prepare to start walking forward. Actually, I haven't moved yet, so I will start walking forward while changing to my mace.
The bolt just hits against the barrier, and you're like, forget this. I'm going to go bonk him.
I knew I shouldn't go do that. Someone
get up to the barrier, Murdoch.
So was Murdoch able to notice the way that the spiritual weapon and Scurry tried to shoot through the barrier?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the flickering is obvious now. Okay. It's very clear that there are spots where you can just hop in if you're quick enough.
You do that thing where you wait for it to disappear and then you walk through.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to can I reach him with my sword without going through the barrier? Like swipe through? Because I don't want to be in there. It doesn't seem like a good thing.
No, you would not be in melee range on this side of the barrier.
I guess I'll time a running drive-by.
So you're going to try to jump in, hit, and jump out?
No, like right through. I'm going to run through. Not necessarily jump, unless I have to jump.
Well, yeah. Okay. So this is going to take some special timing. So give me either a dexterity acrobatics or just a dexterity check.
Okay.
But you can still make your attack roll as normal.
All right. Acrobatics is a 25.
You get in.
All right. I can do a drive-by. Murdoch's all about the drive-by.
That's good enough to get in and out. Jesus. Your attack?
Longsword swinging mightily as I pass, 21.
Nice.
That will hit.
Shouting, have at you!
you ne'er-do-well.
Yeah. So I'm going to take this opportunity to do a distracting strike. I'm going to use a superiority die, which is a D8. Let me roll that. I have to press the roll button. So that's 6 that I will add to the damage, which was 6. So it's going to be 12 damage, and the next attack roll against that target by an attacker other than me has advantage if it's made before the start of my next turn.
Okay, cool.
So at that point, I'm going to stand. I'm going to position myself near Talon to be ready to help defend as needed. And I want to take, rather than a second attack, I'm going to start looking around for the whimpering voice that we had heard.
Okay, so you run in, get your swipe in, and it seems that this one has actually broken his concentration. The whatever ritual he was doing seems to be fading out now. He's trying to get it back up. And you run out, get next to Talon, and just as soon as you run out, you can clearly see the cage that Miss Roomdeer is being held in. Okay. She's looking a little worse for wear, but very much alive.
So then I would continue my movement over to where she is then. If I can see her clearly, then okay. I will continue my movement over to where she is and start working on the cage.
You can get up to the cage, but yeah. You're going to have to wait for your next turn to do anything with it.
Okay.
Brings it up to top of the round, Talon.
All right, so seeing him with this successful drive-by, Talon's going to take inspiration and he's going to try to do the same thing and run through and hit him with the scimitar.
Okay.
All right.
Are you just trying to go in or are you trying to go in and out?
Trying to go in and out like you did. So drive that's by. The goal.
So that you get advantage on your roll because of my distracting strike.
You're very talented, so I believe exactly. You got this.
It'll be the same as it was with Murdoch. Dex acrobatics to get in and out.
Right. Okay.
And 37. Then a normal attack. Or sorry, at that's advantage.
17.
That's good enough.
Okay. And then I'll take my two strikes with my scimitar. And you said that the attack's not an advantage, right? Because of the superiority die?
The next attack roll is has advantage because of the distracting strike. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I need – oh, nope, that's bad. I had a natural 1 and then a 5.
So the first attack just whiffs.
Yep, I distracted him so you could do 5 times better and miss.
Yep. Yep, that's just how good I'm rolling tonight.
Yeah.
All right, I'll take my second attack if I can.
Yes, you still can.
Okay. That one is a 8.
That is not enough.
I think we have to add all 3 rolls together to hit.
You got them all together, right?
Yeah, all together, it was still. I don't think it would hit him still. So yeah, I do a legitimate like drive by, just miss, and then
you do an electric slide once you get to him and try to swing, but you just whiff it. You don't extend the blades. You're just caught up and looking cool.
I'm gonna spend a key point because I'm trying to hit something and roll better than what I have been, and I'm gonna do flurry of blows. So I'm gonna make 2 unarmed strikes against him.
Okay. Nice. No. Cult leader feels refreshed right now, so let's take care of that.
That's a 12.
That is actually not high enough to get the cult leader.
And that is a 15.
That hits.
Oh, what hits? Yeah. And that is 5 points of bludgeoning damage as I punch him in the back of the head as I'm running past.
All right. So you swing in a flurry, you realize you miss, and you just kind of like bop him. As you're running out, but you're just prioritizing getting out of there now.
Flop it. Twist it.
He's kind of reeling, but it looks like you have his attention now. He does look like he's about to collapse, though. Which brings it to his turn.
And he collapses.
No. He doesn't collapse. Instead, he
claps and gives up.
No. All right. None of you are in a line, are you? Damn.
Nope.
All right. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Okay, you are the biggest threat because that is my sacrifice. Murdoch, I need a dexterity saving throw. Your DC is 14.
19. 16 plus
3. Awesome. You take half the damage of a lightning bolt. Which is
4 points. Got it.
Okay, so that is 23 total. So you're taking 12. No, sorry, 11.
11 damage taken. Oh, don't do that.
And now he's looking around and he's going to try to get out of there. With, unfortunately, oh no, there is somebody in the way of his escape. Scurry, you can take an attack of opportunity.
Does my magic hammer have that opportunity or no?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well,
not sure.
Does he still have the field when he goes to do that, or does that drop when he goes to move? The force field?
As soon as he starts trying to leave, the barrier drops.
Okay, so then I'll swing at my mace that I was already pulling out while I walked up. How does a 14 sound?
14 is his AC.
All right. Median means a hit, right?
Yes.
Awesome. So he will take 6 damage.
Ouch! And he is down. His skull has been cracked open just a bit. His head is bleeding. He's still breathing. Oh. But the cult leader is now down for the count. The other cult members are actually dead, though.
Except for the one that ran away, like a little bitch.
Yeah, except that dude. He's probably gone by now.
Shouting profanity.
Yeah.
All right, I'll start tying this guy up, unless anyone has any objections. I think we should take this guy in, because he needs to serve his crime, not just die. Any objections?
I think, well, Murdoch wants to finish freeing the captive.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, I think that's what we came here for, right?
with your shield, you're able to break the lock open, yeah. And she looks up at you and does the whole, you know, stereotypical, oh, my savior, oh, grand knight, thank you.
Murdoch will turn.
Still crying, though.
Murdoch will turn to look at everyone else, flash a smile, and look at that Mentos sparkle on his teeth. Murdoch, the fresh maker.
God.
You're welcome. You should be returned to your family.
And that is that.
Well, I want to. Now I was thinking, I think we should take this man and put him in this cage and seal it.
Oh, there's a better cage for him, and I trust me, I know one. It's under my bed. He's going to live there until he dies.
This evildoer should be brought to justice. He should be locked up by the city guards. My father will have strong words for him when we return.
So let's bring him back to your father.
What was that, Joe?
Let's bring him back to your father.
Right. I mean, I'm sure he'll pay some extra money then, right? If we bring him back.
We can bring him back his daughter and her boyfriend. I will see to it that you are
fairly compensated for your efforts.
There you go. She said that we're going to be greatly compensated for our work. Let's go.
I said fairly.
Greatly compensated.
Do I see that guy running away in the distance, by the way?
Extra.
No, you are unable to find the last cultist. He has gotten away. He is our plot thread for if I ever have to do this shit again.
Yeah, Scurry's gonna run, burn that into his memory of what that guy looks like, just for the future.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a reason to live now. It's gonna kill this mother.
Will Eli ever want to do this again?
No. I mean, it's been fun, honestly.
I don't know. Do you got more birds, Eli?
Actually,
he's got at least one to flip your way, Randy.
Oh, Scurry is so happy now.
There's just gonna be an ominous flock of birds that follow us from town to town.
You know what? The light crossbow just says crossbow misses.
Nice.
All right. He makes a little notch in it every time he misses. It just full notches all the way through.
Well done. Well done. Good stuff, Eli.
The other side says hits and there's nothing there.
So you've beaten the dungeon. All of you get 350 gold. And as a group, you have a cart with a horse.
Hey.
Very cool. Now, I like that as a one shot. Like you said, you skipped a level of your dungeon, but it gets us through something relatively quickly. And we're able to get a resolution, which is pretty cool with a 2-hour one shot. That isn't too easy to do, especially with this group.
You're dealing with me, so it's to be expected. So.
It's definitely a bit out of my wheelhouse, trying to run something so quickly. No. But thankfully, this whole dungeon setup is kind of, I mean, I can kind of just get rid of entire sections. The start of the cathedral bit doesn't really have to be there. It could just be here's the line, now put out the torches, and then boom, you're in the crypt.
Oh, but then you wouldn't have Scurry with a face full of brown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I rolled 22 times tonight, and I rolled 3 times over 10.
Yeah. Wow. Poor Jason.
3 times over 10.
I'm so sorry. Tell you what, if I promise you, that's your rolls brutal. Will be better if I run 3-5. I'm blaming 5e on this. I don't care.
Don't count attack rolls, right? That was just regular 20s?
No, that was all of them. That's every roll. Yeah. All of the attack rolls, anything that was a d20. That I rolled 22 times a d20, 3 times was over a 10. On 2 of those were 11s.
Well, I think your dice are just mad at you because you've been DMing for a while.
I'm not using D&D Beyond anymore.
I think I do have the singular distinction of rolling with advantage and still getting 2 ones.
Yes, you do.
That is something to be proud of.
Yeah, it doesn't happen that often.
That's a feat right there.
Yeah.
like when the players roll two natural 20s in a row.
That's such a feat that it should be called two left feet when you roll two like ones.
I like that actually. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but thank you, Eli. Man, it was good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Not a problem.
Yeah, excellent, Eli. I'm
glad that y'all enjoyed it. If you'll have any critiques, let me know. I'm always looking to improve this game.
I don't think it was anything that you did. I think it was something more of the group.
Yeah, we're a bit nuts, and when you rely on me to go find information, you're not going to get what you want.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I like the idea of taking the languages that the players told you about the characters and then using those, like the giant, and when the statue started talking, it talked in dwarvish to the dwarf, right? So yeah. that's always cool, I think, to take things and highlight the characters.
I think Eli had to do that because he's like, I'm dealing with the intelligence level of these three. Well, so maybe I just need to give them.
Yeah, find the sunstone, then you immediately find a lever to an elevator. So don't even bother with the stone. Just go to the elevator. You're all good. You're downstairs now. All right, don't worry about it. All right.
And then there's us with Randy going, hey, let's go over here. That's shiny.
Yeah. So this stone right here kind of looks like the one from upstairs. We should go and like pick its nose or something.
Yeah, at least with the puzzle one, that one's always supposed to be just a language that one player knows, but the angels are only supposed to be speaking in celestial. You know what? They're angels. They can use tongues.
Yeah, I almost picked that. I almost did. I was like, no, let's just give them something unique that shouldn't be there.
Yep.
But we took the bird murder route.
The bird murder route.
As I said in the last episode, I've run this like 4 times before. No one has ever tried to kill birds to solve that puzzle. No one has ever tried to solve that puzzle with murder.
There's nothing you can't solve with murder.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our group's motto, actually. If you hire us. Hey,
my next thought was dynamite, so.
when they pull up, you know, need adventurers to solve your problems, check out this group.
Solved via murder.
Yep. Like the old school Ghostbusters logo where we're like, we're ready to kill for you.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. Thank you very much for picking up on short notice.
Very much so.
Very happy to have you run this one shot for us.
Yep.
I think we'll probably be back next week.
Oh, man, I'm good for hopefully. Next week. Oh, it's good.
We'll see how the schedule holds up. If everyone can make it, we'll be back in Eridan next week. If not, we'll come up with another fun one-shot for us, and we'll keep this murder hobo train going.
There you go.
Who knows? Maybe I'll run one of these days. I'm the Mickey of this group right now.
Maybe you will, Randy. Maybe you will. In the meantime, we'll wrap this one up, and we can all say bye-bye.
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 The preceding podcast was brought to you by One Joe Young. You can find us online at adventuresfromtheshed.com.
Hey, cultist, if you ever come back, we'll kill you!
That was kind of tame.
Yeah. Okay. I was doing a Lion King
reference.
Yeah.